Praise the Lord. If you will stand with me one more time, maybe we'll all get in the same direction here. Praise the Lord. Father, we seek You for You this morning. We seek You for You. We seek You for righteousness and holiness and truth and direction, which would be You. We love You, Lord. We trust You. With all of our mights, we now focus not upon the speaker, but what You say today. And because we do that, we turn our hearts and our ears towards You. We will be profited. We will be grown. We will be healed. We will be strengthened and excited. And we don't take any other report. The enemy's defeated. We're the mighty army that's marching toward the enemy to do some more defeating. In Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One of the phrases that I noticed this morning in that last song that we sang was that God's holiness is revealed through righteousness and justice. One of the things I'd like for all of us to change in our belief is that God's holiness is not revealed through mercy. I'm not trying to step on any toes or change any theology. I'm just saying by Scripture, God's holiness is revealed through righteousness and justice. If churches across the world would understand that it's all right, grace and mercy is required. It's given freely to you, therefore we should give it freely. But that does not reveal God. Isn't it amazing? Salvation does not reveal the majority of God. There's a lot more to God than just forgiveness. And yet 90% of all ministry is geared to that direction. And there's so much more of God. And I hate to say this, but because we leave out the majority of God, the holiness, the world is in a tremendous turmoil. We're just too busy forgiving, so it doesn't require us to live right. One of the things that I know that's going to come out and is coming out in this teaching of righteousness, then we'll probably move into holiness, many other things. But and it's still part of the basics series. One of the things you and I are going to have to be able to do, I'm going to say that again, you are required to do. I tell you what, I've had it up to here with forgiveness, grace and mercy. I've had it up to here. It's a way to let everybody do anything they want to do and still make it to heaven. I watched just about 15 minutes of a special on Frank Sinatra this morning. And at the end he said, and he went to the big casino on a certain date. And instantly in my heart I thought, I wonder what hell feels like to him now. If you say that, how do I righteously say that he went to hell? By his lifestyle. Correct? He did it his way, which is already anti-Christ. If you do it your way, it's already anti-Christ and you're destined to go to hell. I've for my friends and for my relatives and for my kinfolks and for my enemies. If you are committing sin, then I step back and I watch you suffer. I expect you to suffer. If God chastises those that He loves, and for God so loved the entire world, then I expect Him to chastise the entire world no matter what your opinion is. Look at me. Agree with me. It's all right. You got to agree with me. I'm telling you word. And when somebody is sinning, then listen. Here's the next step. Their mind is gone, gone, gone. Don't listen to a word they say. Don't follow them anywhere. Because they're gone. Now it's up to you to think for them in some cases. You understand that? When somebody is in sin, it's up to you to think for them if you care anything about them. You have to stand and say, no, what you're doing is wrong. I'm sorry, it won't profit. It's up to us to say that. How we say it, you'll have to address the Holy Spirit and let Him help you. I'm not here to tell you how to do that. I'm just telling you you're going to have to do it. Don't take it personal. And if they take it personal, it's okay. It's okay. Somebody's doing wrong. It's up to you to say, I do not agree. If they're doing wrong to the point of their harm, it's up to you to say, stop it. And again, what you think, this sin has done this thing in your life. It's amazing to me how that so-called, and don't call yourself a Christian if you're sinning. I don't receive it. When you say, I am Christ-like and I am sinning, you are blaspheming. I need to get bold enough to just use that word once in a while. But I've had so-called Christians come to me and say, I committed adultery, but it's okay, God understands. I knew God was with me the whole time. Well, you lying to yourself, and from this point forward, you ain't got a brain cell in your head. Not until you stop this nonsense. You may not like it, but it's the way it is. And you not liking it is not going to change it. I wish the world could understand that we will never judge anything until we judge righteously. We're not going to be allowed to judge anything. And what does judge righteously means? It means judge according to the Spirit of the living God. And if you don't think God isn't unhappy and doesn't get upset once in a while, you haven't read the Word. He took care with the law of seed time and harvest. You understand? What you plant, you're going to get. You need to get your eyes open, and when you're dealing with people, look into their lives and see how much of their distress they have planted and they are receiving the harvest from. Do you have to put up with the harvest? No. Do you understand righteousness and holiness eliminates the bad harvest? Doesn't the Bible say God can turn what was meant for bad to good? We don't have to accept every harvest. We can begin to be the mighty warriors, but a warrior, the only good warrior in the world is the one that obeys an order. Remember when I got so upset about that stupid submarine movie where they were the second in command argued with the first in command, and some of us even got on the bandwagon of he did right? No, he did wrong. What was the number? Crimson Tide. Anytime you argue with the first in command, you are wrong. You are wrong. You are wrong. And if we can get that down in our craw, we'll be righteous. And then God will ask us our opinion once in a while. He'll use us in ministry. Some of the most hysterical people in the world are those that are seeking for ministry and yet they don't obey the Word of God. They protest the loudest. They accuse the most. They degrade the most. But it isn't for uplift. Righteousness, it's all right to say what you're doing is wrong. But why are you doing it? It's because I want you to do thus and such. Righteousness. That's what the Word does. That's what the Word does. Do you remember back when we had our part one of righteousness? I'm going to quickly review some things. This is part two of a basics course in righteousness. Do you know if you're not righteous, you can't discern of what's righteous and what isn't? Listen to me. The other thing you must understand is that a person that's not living a righteous life before God, what's a righteous life? A right life before God, cannot discern between the righteous and the wicked. That's why Christians can come to you and say, I slept with the old boy last night, but God ain't mad. Why? Unrighteousness takes away the ability to tell the difference between right and wrong. Only righteousness gives you the ability to tell the difference between right and wrong. Let me read you some scriptures quickly. If you've taken notes before, you don't need to write these down if you haven't. Malachi 3. I'll give you a little preface in the Old Testament, and then we'll jump into the New. Here's something that the Christians, righteous people, have dealt with all of the days of their lives. Malachi 3:14. You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed. How many of you have seen the proud blessed? Or at least you've called them blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. How many have thought about that in your life? Those people that tempt God and just walk on. Okay. Then those who feared the Lord, those righteous people that didn't allow the evil of others to change their course, those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name and not whatever is going on around them. Verse 17, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, and on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked. Oh, when you turn back to meditating on the Lord, not on what's going on anywhere else, not on forgiving, not on forgiving, not on releasing, not on loosing, back on your relationship with God. That's what you need to meditate on. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. See, let me tell you something. You will be able to tell the difference between those who serve them and those who do not serve them, even when they say, I serve Him.
Right.
How are you going to do that? Because you will be able to discern between righteous and wicked. You'll be able to tell what's right and what's wrong. Not only will you tell, you'll open your mouth and say it's right and wrong. Malachi 4, 1 through 3. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. All who do wickedly will be stubble. What is wickedly? That's anything, number one, against the Ten Commandments. That's just the beginning. Number two, it's anything against Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why He died and what He died for. Anything that goes against that will be stubble. Soft fuzzies will not keep you from being stubble. It burns good. Soft fuzzies do. My little darlings. Says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed cows. So if you want, or calves. So if you want to shine and you want to be strong and you want to be profited and be profitable to the kingdom, you'll obey the word of the living God. And you won't make excuses why you shouldn't or why it's okay. Then you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Please God, you'll be fat, you'll be good. I covered about how we get there. How we get there is usually designed by a man and his church, his religion, his theology, and we fall in it just like a bunch of gooses, quiet gooses. We don't study the Word to see if what the man says is right. But I can tell you what, best I can tell in my studies, is that salvation ain't going to get you there. Baptism's not going to get you there. Speaking in tongues not going to get you there. Signing up cards not going to get you there. Lighting the candles not going to get you there. Mom and Daddy's not going to get me there. Rosary's not going to get me there. Mary's not going to get me there. Where I go to church on sixth or seventh day is not going to get me there. What I wear or what I don't wear is not going to get me there. How I do my hair or don't do my hair. Circuses and carnivals are not going to keep me from getting there. It's exactly living what God, how Jesus would do it. You do it how Jesus would do it, and you'll get there. That's as simple as I can tell you. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. What's their wicked ways? Anything that's not God's ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let me tell you what else won't get you there. Feelings. I thought here, Bill's talking about being greatly excited. Last week I was I'm still greatly excited, but things flow over sometimes. You can see them. How you feel will not get you there. If I walk into a church and I can feel the warm and fuzzies, then the nonsensical things that come out of Christians' mouth, oh, I feel Jesus in this place. Are you sure? Are you sure that was Jesus? Because the devil can mimic Jesus. He can in his lifestyle, but he can in some of those warm and fuzzies. Jesus will never mimic, never ask you to mimic the life of Christ. But he might ask you to speak in tongues. He might ask you to do a... You know the devil might ask you to do a dance to confuse the Holy Spirit's work? I always said to those people that like to dance in the front, go to the back and dance. Go back there and dance. If it's unto the Lord, He'll see you. The people won't. If it's unto the people, we don't want you here anyway. Come on. Turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Acts 10:35. But in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness. Whoever fears Him and works righteousness. Do you know the devil is afraid of God? But he don't work righteousness. Therefore, he will not make it to heaven. Whoever fears the Lord and works righteousness. You go to work. Do you get paid? Okay, you go to work for the God, for righteousness, and you work righteousness. You work Him. You going to get paid?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If you work the acts of the devil, you going to get paid?
Yep.
Then tell people that. When they're doing things that are not right, when they're doing things just because, well, I was looking for a slot, and they had a slot I could feel. That ain't right. What's right is do what God tells you to do.
Amen.
I mean, it's how you feel. Anybody ever go to the dentist? You like the feeling?
No.
Was it right? It was right. I can guarantee your breath smells a lot better. It was right. Your spouse appreciates it. But in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. From in faith, righteousness is revealed. When is faith required? All the time? Do you need faith to go to bed and go to sleep? Do you need faith to sit down and eat a good meal? Or just kind of comes natural? You know when faith is really revealed? When it ain't going so good. Then we know where you find out where your faith is at. And in that act of faith, now, the faith we're talking about is when it ain't going so good. That's when righteousness is revealed. It is written, the just shall live by faith. Matthew 5:20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You need to study the scribes and Pharisees. Those people were righteous in many eyes. They just weren't righteous in God's eyes. They obeyed every rule. They could quote you rule. They could tell you where it was at. and when it was written, what it was written on, what it looked like. They could draw it on the wall. They obeyed every law. They never committed adultery. They never blah, 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 blah. But they didn't please God because there wasn't an ounce of faith in the whole thing. It was only religious and law. I told you the definition of righteousness. It's a man. Righteousness is a man. Righteousness is a man. It is not an act. Because if it was an act, the scribes and Pharisees would have been righteous. They did it right. Righteousness is a man. It's a friend, not a law. And intimacy with that man will create righteousness in you. What is righteousness? It's being right. It's virtue. It's to do or make right. Did you know righteousness is to make right? It's righteous to pick up trash off the floor. It's unrighteous to walk by it and leave it there. It's righteous to see something that needs to be done and do it. It's unrighteous to look at it for a year and don't do it. That apply to 10 million different things. Righteousness is knowing the right man and doing right by that man. Righteousness is being free from accusation. I didn't say the accusations wouldn't come. I said it's being free from the accusations. It's not being bound up by accusations. Well, you can't say that, Stan. You know what will happen if you say that? Yeah, righteousness. The rest I'm not in charge from. It's the man that's in charge. I'm not in charge. The man's in charge. Speak the man and he'll be in charge. To be pure, to be innocent, to be holy, to be able to issue forth justice. To be righteous is to be able to issue forth justice. It's the right to preach or speak God's decrees. The power and the authority to live free, to rule over and for. It's to have privilege. When you're righteous, you have privilege. The Scripture says I walk with favor when I'm righteous. To have the right of competency. To be superhuman. Mastery. One of the key words that's in there is prosperity. See, the only true riches is righteousness. Study your history. See the people that were rich. And see how they suffered. Then look for righteous people and see who were made rich and see how they handle it. Now, you know what? Can I tell you something? You don't have to be saved to be righteous. You just have to do it the way Jesus would do it. That's why there are many rich men other than Christians. Because they have honored God's Word. They have lived their lives like Christ would have lived. It doesn't mean that being righteous doesn't automatically put you in heaven. You've got to combine born again and righteousness. You've got to have them both. But I can tell you, my grandfather prospered like you wouldn't believe because his code was like Jesus' code. He didn't even know Jesus, but he lived according to the rules, and God prospered him like you wouldn't believe. Then he got saved, and the righteousness was not a problem. He'd live that way all the time. The only thing he quit trying to do was kill somebody. He was going to issue some justice anyway. See, it's right for the guy that he was going to kill, it's right for him to die. It's just not right for him to do it. Let God take care of it. He'll do it his way. All right, let's start today. I'm going to review a couple more that's added to for the last time we got together. It is only and all about the kingdom. If we're going to be righteous, we have to understand that it's only and all about the kingdom. See, when you get frustrated or worried about a situation in your life, you forgot that it's all about the kingdom. You think it's about you. Ain't got anything to do with you unless you're part of the kingdom. And then you want the king to take care of it. You quit trying to be the king. It's all about crowning him king. Crowning means living like he's the king. Crowning is not putting something on somebody's head. It's about giving him all honor and glory. be. It's about exalting him as king. Not just in your private life talking about it, but in your public life, you exalt him as king. How do you exalt a king? And except by saying, you're exalted. Mostly with your lifestyle. You say, this is the way the king wanted to do it. This is the way I'm going to do it. That's how you exalt the king. It's all about the kingdom when you bring others into the kingdom. All right, let me hit you one more time. It ain't about getting them saved, even though that's important. You know the reason I cannot be an evangelist? Is because many, many years ago I learned that you can go to hell and be saved. I've seen it too many times. But you can't go to hell being saved and righteous. So I don't want to leave a guy freshly saved out beside the road. I want to take him home. I want to tell him about what Jesus is and who he is. And what God the Father sent us and the gift of the person of Jesus Christ and how he lived the life so that we would have that life to live. Living a life, teaching a life that is about pleasing him. You live a life to please him and you teach others that your life is about pleasing him. That's righteous. With all that we are, it is for him, to him, for the kingdom. Two different things here. Two different things. For him and to him, for the kingdom. Can I tell you, if Jesus were standing here today, he would tell you, live your life like I lived it, for God. That's what Jesus would tell you. Don't do it for me. Do it for the Father. Jesus said, the things that I do, the things that I say, they are from the Father. He never exalted himself, he exalted the kingdom, the Father. Number one was only and about the kingdom. Number two is moving us and others from where and what we are to the likeness and image of Jesus, our rightness, our righteousness. What did I just get through saying? A whole lot more than you wanted to hear. I said you don't leave anybody alone. You be a menace and a nuisance for the rest of your life. Somebody comes into your presence, you know what they're after is for you to get closer to Jesus. Or more like Jesus. Come on. That's all you're for. You know they're going to say something to you if you're doing wrong. You know they're going to try to push you closer into the kingdom of God. More into the kingdom of God. Come on, I didn't see any amens or hellos on that one, but I'm telling you, hello. That's your job here. Number three, knowing this, if we're not born again, we are cursed to death. If you're not living like God wants you to live, you are cursed to death. That means you'll suffer the pangs of death all of the days of your life, and then when you die, you're going to live in death eternally. B, the only way to be right is through Jesus or the Word. Hey, you ain't right if it's not according to the Word. You will never be right unless it's according to the Word. How do you be right? Be according to the Word. C, right is not law. It is pleasing God through Jesus Christ. Who he is, what he stood for. Right is not law, it's pleasing God. D, righteousness will move us to holiness. So when you get on the righteous boat, it's going to end up on the holy boat. You won't lose one for the other. It'll just get better. All right. I told you, this is, let's put some legs to this thing, application. That righteousness is a person. I referred to Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Here's what righteousness will do for you. It's a person. You put off your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on a new man, which is created according to God. Oh, listen to me. You got to put on a new man according to the likeness of God. Come on. You know how you know? You know when you see the crap coming out of you. And you recognize it. You say, I don't like that, so I'm going to move a little closer and a little closer. You don't wake up one morning in the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. You work that righteousness. It's your determination. According to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Righteousness is our goal and sustenance. Matthew 5, 6. Righteousness is our goal and our sustenance. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If your goal is righteousness, you can get the goal and you'll be filled. Righteousness is our prosperity. Matthew 6, 33. But seek the first, not last, not after the boyfriend, not after the money, not after I sleep tonight, but seek the first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All of these things. By the way, you notice I'm back in the New Testament, right? So that y'all don't think it's just Old Testament stuff. Righteousness is our work. Acts 10:35, but in every nation who fears Him, are you a nation? You are. But in every nation whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him, God. It doesn't say you had to be perfectly righteous. It says works righteousness is accepted by Him. All right, righteousness is our faith and freedom from law and our inheritance. Romans 4:13, for the promise that He would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Let me tell you something. When Jesus hit this earth, faith hit this earth. That entered a long time before. Don't get me wrong. But it seemed like before there were men of faith like Abraham. But the inheritance was faith in all of our lives. The Holy Spirit in all of our lives. Righteousness in all of our lives. The Pope went away and everyone became a minister. We became righteous by trusting righteousness and our promotion. Now this is a heading. We became righteous. Notice I said that past tense. We became righteous by trusting righteousness. And we get our promotions. Romans 4, 20-23. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, even when we didn't feel like it, and being fully convinced that what He had promised, He was able to perform. How many of you are fully convinced? Then either we are lying, we're not fully convinced, or we don't know everything that He promised. And most of that's the latter. We haven't really grasped everything that He's promised. Verse 22, and therefore it was accounted to Him for righteousness. Now it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him. It was not written for His sake alone. Abraham didn't go through this so that we could just read it and say, that's nice history. It wasn't given to him and stopped after a certain two or three generations. Well, forever. All right, let's add to the list. It is how, righteousness is how a good God is revealed. How many of you know there's a lot of God out there that's not good? He's blamed for every bad thing on the face of the earth. That's because we don't want to take any blame for anything. The reason God is blamed for every bad thing is because we don't want to take blame for anything. Over there in Indonesia, all those people get washed away. Now, they'll come up with their God, and they'll give a reason why their God did it. We're goofy. We just say, God did it. We won't have a reason. Now, I'll tell you how goofy they are. Good, righteous people come over to help, and they start dictating how we can help. and thank God for a president that says, all right, pull them out. Amen. That's righteous. You understand? If you walk in and they don't receive you, shake the dust off of your feet. They like walking in that stench of death. Leave them there. Let a whole bunch more of them. Maybe if enough of them die, we won't have to hear it anymore. Well, that's not very righteous then. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yeah, it is. God offers eternal life and eternal death. It says, you take it. Choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses. He doesn't say, even if you're bad, I'll take you in. If you're bad, he's not taking you in. All right, how a good God is revealed. Romans 1, 16 through 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know why it says just? Because it means justified. Justified means righteousness makes you justified, not just the washing of the blood. I've been taught all my life that once you're washed, you're justified. That's not what the Bible teaches. It means you're cleansed and pure. We have a hard enough time believing that. Seems like we spend the rest of our life just on that one subject. Am I clean and am I pure because I'm washed in the blood of Jesus? Well, Paul says, let's don't deal with those elementary things anymore. Let's move on. In other words, yes. Now, how do we stay pure? Well, we work at righteousness, therefore we are justified, clean, pure. It puts us in another place, a higher place than saved. I'm so glad that God is leading me to a higher place than just saved.
Amen.
Isn't that cool? God's still working. As long as I work, He works. Yeah. If I'd have known that when I was a little bitty boy, there's no telling. I might still be, my footprints might be on the ceiling. We will all obey someone or something. I'm going to say that openly to everybody in this room. You are obeying right now. Now, make a difference what you want. If you're no good, you're obeying the no good. There is a master that's controlling your no good. If you're good, there's a master that's controlling your good. You are a slave to someone. Romans 6, 16 through 19. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom will you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that through you were slaves, though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, step one, having been set free from sin, step two, you become slaves of righteousness. Isn't that cool? Now you're set free. Free, free, free. I'm going to float. I'm going to dance. I'm going to go wherever I want to go. Do whatever I want to do. I'm tired of hearing of that ministry that you minister. Well, you and the horse you rode in on. My scripture says, set free from sin, you have become slaves to righteousness. Boy, that's degrading. You call me a slave. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. No, it is how you get help, and it's how you help others. Righteousness is the way you get help and the way you help others. The only source of life is righteousness. It is not in salvation. Now, I want to ask you something. If I held you up, a freshly newborn baby just pulled out of the womb, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to ask you nothing, especially you women. You'd call it cute no matter what. It could have its head on its bottom and you'd call it cute. But I'm telling you, hold that thing up and that's the ugliest piece of mess that I ever saw in my life. It don't even breathe on its own. You got to give it a boot. Right? That's being born again. That's what you look like. You can't even breathe on your own. The Holy Spirit has to give you your first smack or you won't even take a breath. You get my point? Unless there is a place to go, there is no life. You listening to me? Unless there's a place to go, there's no life. The older you get that, the more you figure it out. Unless there's some reason to get up. I ain't going to get up. Come on. Romans 8:10-11. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now I want you to look at this carefully. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you, the Spirit of righteousness who dwells in you. Life comes from righteousness. The man and righteousness in you and the working of righteousness in you. Now, for all the sugar-coated Christians, whatever that is, I'm beginning to believe that whatever that is whoop. We are weapons against wrong. Jesus didn't come to hold the little children. Jesus didn't put on his tutu and dance across the front so that everybody would be happy. He didn't twirl and wear white, fluffy gowns and look sweet. Jesus came as a weapon against wrong.
Amen.
And he was hated because of that. If it had been in his tutu, he'd have been loved. He didn't wear beads and say peace. He walked around saying, I'm looking for war. Romans 6:12-14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. I'm not against dancing, by the way. I'm against it as a religion. Verse 13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Who has the control of your members? You do. It says, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, you ain't no instrument of righteousness unless you're doing some surgery. Unless you're taking a shot once in a while. The working out of righteousness is not just to you. I don't spend all my days in front of the mirror saying, we're going to get this straight in you today, or I don't care what, we're going to get this. That's not your only ministry. It's part of it. The other part is to get outside and be an instrument to other people of righteousness. And that never happens unless there's a little blood. Shall I say a little pain? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. If you're never making any waves, you're not righteous. We can never be right by our good deeds. Let me read you Romans 10:1-4. We can never be right by our good deeds. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Isn't that amazing that that was written way back then? When the Bible says pray for Israel, I wonder what it's talking about. We won't go there. That's too political. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God. One thing I know about them is they are zealous for God. But their zeal is not based on knowledge. I've been in churches where people get up and dance and froth at the mouth. They sweat. I mean, they fall down, they get up, they knock somebody else down, they get them up. It looks like zeal. Yell and scream in there, pray and bang things. And I mean, you get some wild. We're not wild. We don't even touch. You ain't been to where it's wild. I've seen people run on the top of pew backs and never touch the pew, just hit the tops of pews. I've seen chandeliers come down. I can't tell you what I've seen. You don't even want to know anyway. I learned from that. They have zeal, but it's not based on knowledge. Since they did not know, why did they not have knowledge? Listen, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They didn't recognize Jesus as a righteous man, and they didn't seek their own righteousness. They did not submit to God's righteousness. If you don't recognize it, if all you ever see is God is a merciful God, and you don't see that He's a righteous God, you don't see God. That's what it's saying. If you don't see in yourself that you need to be righteous, you can't see God. That's the next thing it's saying. If you don't submit to the require of God for you to be righteous, you can never know God's righteousness. By the way, if you don't know His righteousness, you can't know His mercy. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Amen. That last statement says this: there's no righteousness in the law. It doesn't say there isn't any law. It says there's no righteousness in obeying law. The righteousness in you is revealed by recognizing the righteousness of God and wanting to go that direction. Okay. If we're righteous, we will live righteously, and we will require right around us, which will bring people to salvation. Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. That's your job. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. You can bring people to salvation through your righteousness. You know what an unrighteous, born-again person creates? Born-again biker gangs. They still smoke. They still drink. They still cuss. They still commit adultery. But praise God, I'm born again. Are you hearing me? Born again don't change you. Righteousness changes you. Getting somebody saved won't totally change them. Your influence to righteousness to them will change them. It's amazing that salvation is called a gift and righteousness is called a work. Why don't we get on the bandwagon and find out what's really valuable? Oh, salvation is valuable. I said that wrong, and I apologize. Salvation is valuable. But what I'm telling you is God wants more than that. He don't want me a born-again biker gang. He wants me to be born again from a biker gang into something else. You hear me? I know a church in South Texas put a big sign up on a big billboard that said biker-friendly. Well, they didn't mean they wanted you to stay a biker. They mean they're not going to ridicule you for coming in as a biker. Yeah. My problem is it's not very long. Not very long. I'm going to get a little impatient if I don't see God working righteousness in His newborn child. Do you understand that when your kid was born, he was rotten to the core? Listen, everybody thinks they have a sweetheart children. No. Their father is the devil. That's what the Bible says. And you got to get it out of them. Do you understand you work righteousness in your children before they're ever born again? I know everybody wants their child born again, but you got to work righteousness before they can be born again in a child. It's the opposite. Come on. Our work is the kingdom. Romans 4. I said that. We went to church on Wednesday night. It's amazing to me You guys, I hate to say this because it reflects on me, but it does not. It reflects on God and Him only. You don't know how blessed you are. You really don't know how blessed you are. And sometimes God has to take me somewhere else and have me say a little simple truth and watch the mouths fly open to see how blessed you are. I said a couple of little basic things that are normal to us. And it's like the service stopped and the lady said, "Who is this man?" Remember that? I said a couple of things. That's the way it ought to be said about all of us. Who is this man? But I was sitting there and just making some, I thought was very guarded comments, because I know that you don't unload everything you know on somebody. And this is full-blown, old Assembly of God church. And I made a couple of things like Jesus never preached Jesus. He only preached the kingdom. But you don't understand how many people don't know the truth. And I said a couple little simple things like that. And finally the lady sitting beside me said, "Who is this man?" And she wasn't mad. She wasn't irritated. Remember that? Finally, there was one of the church members asked a question, and the pastor just said, "You answer it." Then when I was through, he said, "Is it clear now?" Ask the guy, "Is it clear now, or does he need to say some more?" And I was reminded once again how faithful God has been to us. Amazingly so. And sometimes you have to get a little bit of a smell of foul air before you know what fresh air smells like. You know? Our work is the kingdom. Romans 14, 17 through 18. "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, which brings about peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's the way the Scripture should say. "For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men." 1 Corinthians 1, 30 through 31. It is 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 through 31. "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." Now listen. "It is because of him," that's a little h, that's not a big h. In other words, there's men that lead you to Jesus. "It is him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." Wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. What is righteousness from God? Righteousness, holiness, and redemption. If you want to put them around. Redemption, righteousness, and holiness. It's okay, I don't care. As long as you understand the Trinity is the Trinity. There's a Trinity in a lifestyle. There's redemption, there's righteousness, and there's holiness. "Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord." Can you boast? Can you boast? I nearly think that's a command, that you boast in the Lord. I just boasted in the Lord in front of you a while ago. Whether you liked it or not, made no difference. I have permission. It's all right. You can boast about how the Lord has dealt with you, what He's done for you, what He's taught for you, what He's said to you. You can boast in that. As long as you, all glory goes to Him. There's only one truth. Righteousness is only one truth. What probably, if I have one of the most, the things that disturbs me the most about Christianity is they think there's more than one truth. If you don't believe it, talk. There's people out there committing sin. They'll walk up with you and they'll tell you they're in righteousness. They're Christians. Because why? Because God works with everybody differently. You can't commit adultery. Well, you don't know what I've been going through. Yeah, I do. You've been going through adultery, dummy. Well, this has been a terrible year. Well, you want to compare your year to mine? I ain't been complaining to you. What are you complaining to me for? When are we going to be righteous weapons? When are we going to believe that God actually gives us things to say to put down unrighteousness? Everything that God tells us to say is not ticklish. The reason I like to eat mints and peppermints is because I know that something needs to smell good. But some of the things you don't like the smell of that I say. So we'll just put a little on my breath and you have to absorb the rest. I heard some, I was down at the ranch and was talking to the guy that administers the medicine to the cattle. MSM, what is that? I'm talking to you. MSMO. There's a certain chemical that makes other drugs work a lot better and faster. Something like that. It's four letters. It is something that makes you able to use the drug or the chemical much better. Faster. DSMO. The problem is, you taste the DSMO for a long time. And as I heard about that, I thought, that's the way the Holy Spirit's DSMO. He's not righteousness. He can administer the truth, but the thing that he does to you, you taste that for a long time after you hear the dose of medicine or the truth. It just kind of stays in your tongue. You go, that's the way the word does. It stays there as a bad taste until it becomes good. Amen? Only one truth. Galatians 3:6. Just as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. I say it again. As he believed God and nothing else, nobody else's opinion, it was counted to him for righteousness. Do you know just believing God is it goes in the check mark on your side for righteousness? Because God knows what you believe you'll act on. It's our death, burial, and resurrection. It's our healing. 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, that is the first prerequisite. We, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes we are healed. Righteousness causes us to be doers and preachers of righteousness. It causes us to be world savers. 2 Peter 2:4-5. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, listen to me. This really hit me this morning. I wanted to hit you and DSMO you all forever. As you meet all of these angels, these self-proclaimed angels, you hear me? I've lived for God for years. I haven't done this and I haven't done that. And I preach and I dance and I praise and I'm just so good. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, what are you saying, Stan? I'm telling you that angels sin. They have the ability. And God doesn't spare. Got me? For any of you think you're so born again that you're angels, anybody of you that know people that think they're so born again they're angels, they are not spared when they sin. But cast them down to hell. Do you know that I know people, I've seen people attend this church, I'm not going to say they're here right now, that believe that once you're born again, there can't be any hell. Sometime I'll bring them up and let them tell you all about it. But cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. God destroyed the entire earth and only saved those preachers of righteousness. He didn't save the preachers of salvation. You people that want to be secure in your walk with God, preach righteousness and the flood won't get you. Bringing the flood on the world of the ungodly. The end of that is if you're not preaching righteousness, but your lifestyle and your tongue, you're one of the ungodly. Is that too black and white, Harry? It's convincing. It's not condemning to me, but it's very convincing. I've had many, many people try to convict me to be more evangelistic. You know how you be evangelistic? You don't say anything pertinent except give your heart to Jesus. Should you give your heart to Jesus? Absolutely. There's no other way. There's absolutely no other way. But as I'm preaching right now, I hope you understand, it's not just Jesus. Because Jesus is the righteous one. So you're giving your heart to salvation and righteousness and holiness. I don't have much more to go. I'm going to try to get it so we don't go this again. War, peace, love, forgiveness, judgment, execution. They're all righteous. Listen, there's a move in the world to convince you that hell would be unrighteous, so there is no hell. The judgment is unrighteous, so there's no judgment. There's a move, and it's coming from inside the church. That God is so much full of love that there cannot be judgment. Revelations 19:11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful. He was called true. He was called righteousness. And in that righteousness, he judges and makes war. You hear me? In other words, he wasn't naked, riding bareback with little wings out his shoulders. He was a mighty warrior on a mighty warrior's horse, making righteousness through judgment and war. Come on. Let me feel the teeth in you just a little bit. I don't know. Maybe I should let that rest. I just don't know. I know this. If I had my prayers answered today, one of the main ones would be in our churches around the world. We would get some teeth about our belief. And when somebody crossed our belief, we left teeth marks. Amen. This is where the shark bit me. The shark of righteousness bit me. The Bible says if one of your members offends you, cut it off. That's what righteousness does. It cuts off offending things. And if you aren't in the business of cutting off some offending things, you're not being righteous. First in you, then in those things around you. I think for the first time in my life, I'm beginning to believe that I'm all right. Ain't nothing wrong with me. God wants me and you to be lifted up as righteous weapons. The only safe way are through God's commandments. Dangerous disobedience. 2 Peter 2:21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the ways of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Is thou shalt not commit adultery a holy commandment?
Yes.
This says it would be better for them to have never known it than to have known it and turned from it. That's a threat. That's not a promise. Why does it say that? Because God Himself knows that a double-minded man, woman, is an insane man or woman. There's no sanity or righteousness about them. If people are trying to live on both sides of the fence, they're going to end up on the hellish side. No matter what. If they're not trying to move closer and closer to a righteous God, then they're going to move further and further away, which means hell. We need to be bold enough to say those things. Our greatest source of protection. Righteousness is our greatest source of protection. Not your chanting. I wish I could tell heavy faith chanters this. See, faith is based on a promise. Faith is based on believing a promise. It is all right to chant that. But what that promise is going to do is bring you into a different lifestyle. That's what it's going to do. I promise you. Everything you believe on comes with strings attached. And what it'll do is it'll cause a better you. You believing to be healed will cause a better you in all of your life. You believing for prosperity righteously will lead to a better you in all of your life. Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now let me tell you something. Every one of our soldiers and nearly every policeman on the street now has armor. Where do they put it? Breast. Why? You can just about get hit anywhere else. Some of us are so hard-headed, we can get shot in the head and it won't hurt. Well, it might hurt. It's amazing that, though, when we want to guard our bodies, we start from here and end somewhere right around here. It's also amazing, quite a coincidence, if you want to call it that, that righteousness gives you that same armor. Not faith, righteousness. So if I wanted my life protected, my finances protected, my children protected, if I wanted all those things that are dear to me protected, then I shield the heart with righteousness. The digestive system with righteousness. Come on, this is a good point. You ought to write it down. There's only one reference book for truth, or right. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's only one source of righteousness and truth. That's God. And we get a lot of it through our Scripture. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. When we are not being instructed by the Spirit, that's when we're first just going from born again into wanting to be better. We go to that, we go to the teachers of that, and we get instruction in righteousness. What are your parents? What do you do? Children, I don't want you lying to me. Based on what now? Based on God and His Word. It's not right to take things from your neighbor, don't you? You give that back to them. You give that back to them. Based on what? The instruction in righteousness is coming from righteousness. Then we evolve. We grow in the Spirit. We grow in stature, maturity. And now what do? We begin to hear directly from the Father. We become the Father. We become living righteousness so that we can instruct righteousness. I'm telling you God's design here, people. You don't always need to be a child that's whipped over the head saying, don't do that. You must become through righteousness, become the relation with righteousness. You be the one that says, don't do that. Yep, quit being told that. Verse 17, and that it says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the whole idea of salvation is to get you born. Now you're there. You're that lump of bloody mess. And it's to bring you from that into the man that's doing every good work. And if we're not growing, something's wrong. Something's wrong. One more. Tool for the kingdom. We are a tool for the kingdom. Now, and righteousness brings us a crown then, which I tell you they override. No, I'm not talking about when God returns, or it's a crown then. I'm talking about we begin to receive our crowns now. You want me to tell you something? When a woman in church turns to the preacher and says, who is this man? I got a crown. I got a crown. Do you understand me? I can rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now I got a crown. 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Who are those that are loving His appearing? Those that are living righteous. I know you guys think I don't mean it sometimes, but I'm telling you, when I say to you, to be absent here is to be present with the Father, that is not a fearful statement. Why? Because I live righteous before my God, the best I can. And when I'm not righteous, He is faithful and just to come and say, that ain't right. And I say, yes, sir. Give me some understanding. If I don't have it, and if I have it, forgive me. I'll get that changed. You hear me? A promise for now and then. Now, my message was mostly promises. It may have sounded like mostly threats, but it wasn't. Of course, depends on how you translate it. In reality, if I promise you $1,000 if you'll do something, that's a threat. Because the threat is if you don't do it, you ain't getting $1,000. In everything you say, there's a promise and a threat if it's organized or orchestrated by God Himself. In everything you say, there's a promise and a threat. Most of the time, you can't get people to listen to you unless you follow through on at least one of the threats. Why? Because we're just dumb, hard-headed people. We have to learn the threat before we can obey the promise. Isn't that amazing? Think about it in your own lives. You nearly always hit the threat before you believe the promise. Why can't we just move to that full man where we just instantly, whatever God says, we believe it and we don't have to worry about the threat? I'm not threatened by hell. You hear me? You've heard me say this before. I got saved because somebody was scaring the hell out of me. Well, they did a good job. It's not there anymore. I'm not afraid of hell. You can say to hell with me all you want to, and I know you're the only one going because you're trying to get me to go with you. If I say to hell with somebody, that means I'm going to get there first. Come on. You don't like it? Eat it. Don't make any difference. It's good for you. I have blessed you with the truth this morning. I've not cursed you. I have not cursed you. Anybody that turns against the truth curses themselves. Amen? So be it? All right. I'm going to stop there. I know where it's going to lead me into holiness, and I want it to lead you to. I don't know what that means, but we'll find. I know what it means, but let's find out what God knows that it means. I'll get a little education here. I've got something from this, haven't you?
Yeah.
I've got something from this. I've really learned that one of the main things that I've learned is that God is not satisfied with me being born again.
Yeah.
You know why? Because He's just not born again. He's the author of salvation, but He's the author of all righteousness and holiness. And therefore He wants to say, come on, live where I live, man. You ain't been there. You don't even know how good this can be. Far beyond anything that I can think or ask. Righteousness is believing God with all your heart, never wavering. What does that mean? That means whatever I see that looks bad, it's still good. You hear me? Whatever I see or feel that looks bad, it's still good. The next thing it's meant to me, listen to me, whoever's out here wants to argue, if you're in my way to righteousness, I'm going to run you over. We need to be such tenacious Christians after God that if you get in my way, the only thing you're going to end up with is footprints on your face. Now that sounds so unrighteous, but it's not. It's the righteous walk that God calls us to. I want you to come, but if you're not going to come, I'll run over you because I'm hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Not after you. Not after what you've got. We need to be that bold. I've got friends. Some of them are going to hell. Anybody in here got friends that are going to hell? It's all right to say that. You can also say, unless God intervenes. And believe me, God's been trying to intervene all of their lives. So you're not saying anything unusual. But please, let me just get a little real for you. Your job is to get you to heaven. And hopefully you can take some people with you. But don't get sidelined by the pressures of this world. And some of the pressures of this world and those friends that need so much help, they'll suck it out of you. You hear me? There's nobody valuable enough to go to hell for. Nobody. How do I know that? Because Jesus already did it. He never asked me to do it. Never asked me to get up on the cross and die. He never asked me to go down into purgatory and preach to people that have never heard. Have them saved and bring them back. He never asked me to do that. He's asked me to live a righteous life before people. And He's asked me when the opportunity comes up to minister to them. And by the way, guess who I went to church with on Wednesday night? Who invited us to go to their church? The lady that owns the ranch. That when we first met her, she was a heathen. She believed that Indian was God and sweat teepees were sanctuary. Come on. Well, what'd you do? Get her down and force feed her? No, sir. You live your righteous life right before them. You let God slip out whenever He wants to slip out. Come on. That's the ministry that you and I need to be serious about. We never know when we might be ministering to an angel, fallen or normal. We might be ministering to that angel, that person that's been set up by God to fall into the kingdom, or, by the way, to fall completely out. You don't have to understand that. I'm just telling you that's the truth. Praise God in all things, the Bible says. In all things. In all things. All right. Don't forget to hold up. Joanna will be here. You can hold her up. Hold her up right now at a distance, and then you can continue that ministry. If there wasn't some suffering involved from separation, it would not be normal. Hold up Desiree and Rob. And I know that I've already told her, one of the things that I keep having to deal with is this is going to be one of the most traumatic separations that they've gone through. I don't know if I know why, I just know that it is. And so it's important for me that you do that. If you want to call her, you call her. If you want to encourage him, encourage him. What have you got to say? Let me throw out something. If you could talk to Rob right now, what would you do for him? What would you say to him? And with what you would say, would it be worth saying? We need to be cautious about our righteousness. We need to be prepared for life and death situations. When somebody comes to you facing a time when they're going to be away from their family a year, and they're going to be facing death every day, what do you say to them? Be nice. We'll pray for you. There's so many things that we've been taught to say. And in those times, put them to one side and ask God what He wants you to say. What He wants you to pray. Now, and you're right. That's exactly right. Now I'm going to ask you what he said. Let me just start with the first thing he said, which is everything's okay. You're protected. Know what you said? The only way you can say that and have someone believe it is if you mean it. In your life, you got to believe it before meaning comes out of what you say. One of the things that I know, beyond a shadow of my doubt in my life, is that one of the ways that I effectively minister is I effectively believe. Anybody can minister. But when it's built based on a faith in your heart, other people said, whoa. The truth will set them free. And you speaking Scripture doesn't make it truth. It's truth when you believe it. Nobody can convince you differently. And when he was crying on my shoulder, I said, God has made you a leader, not by your choice. You're going to go over there and lead those men in safety and in truth, and you will affect their lives forever. Not by your choice, by God's choice. So that's another thing. When you want to be righteous, God makes decision about your direction, whether you're promoted or not. And I am very, very secure in saying what I said. I believe that because I believe it came from God. Well, show me in the Scripture. Just did. I am a living epistle. What does that mean? That means if God speaks to me and I speak it, it becomes Scripture just as if Paul wrote it himself. Come on. Do you really believe that in your life? Because if you do, you'll be free to stop memorizing and quoting and start being free to flow. Amen? Praise the Lord. I hope I've challenged all of us to get closer to a righteous life through a righteous God. And I hope that I've challenged all of us to be righteous to those that are having a little bit of trouble in the righteous area.
Trying to make something that nobody can duplicate. And what I see in this holiness is that if we are not constantly changing, you know, anybody can say, you know, praise the Lord, Jesus, I love Jesus. You know, if we're not constantly changing to where help me to get this across. I'm not sure. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, I mean, they'll say. Right, they'll say I'm saved, and just which is what you said. They'll say, well, I'm saved, I'm born again. But is there change? Is there change enough that the imitator can't mimic, so that people will see?
There's a difference.
That is genuine. You know, we've gotten away from that word of what is genuine.
Well, one of the things, let me add this, is one of the things, if we get used to a lifestyle, even if it's righteous, and we stay in that, we'll think we're righteous. So God has to throw something in our way, which is called change, to cause us to grow. And I can remember over and over, I've seen Bob go to the casino, win a bucket full of quarters. So he's got a bucket full of quarters. One quarter fall out that looks different, he'd pick it up and look at it. Remember when the new quarters were coming in? Why, it's a quarter. No, there's something different about this quarter. Seen that with the $50 bills, the $20 bills, even the $20 bills. You pick it up and look at it. Look at this. Why? It's different. We need to study it. So we need things changing in our lives that torque us a little bit. Wait a minute. I haven't said that. I haven't done that before. That hasn't been required of me before. Well, it is now. It is now.
I get offended whenever they will mark one of my bills. That offends me. Whenever somebody takes their remark out, I'm
I remember when the old $100 bill, this is not even that old, but it's old, when they first started putting that little stripe in there. Every $100 bill I got, I went, oh, look at that stripe. But you know what I first saw in people? Started people trying to pull those out. Remember that? They pull those out. They don't know why. They're pulling those little strips out. Why? They don't like the change.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Some people thought that tell them that they are. Some kind of a conspiracy kind of theory on that.
This one's been marked, by the way. The other day, I was watching somebody mark one of these, and I thought, I wonder how many marks you can put on that thing. But you remember that when they started pulling out the stripes? That's the way we are. There's a little change in us, and we want to, wait a minute. We resist it, right? And sometimes I resist it in you, and you resist it in me. Then they come along, and they pull another one. They just change the whole looks of it. Now, you know why they're doing more marks? Because of the change. Right? I've never seen anybody pull this stripe out of one. They've accepted that change. Now they're going, wait a minute. Oh, the thing's crooked. It's not even, I don't know what that's, you know. You're going, we need to be welcome to change. How? In what form? When somebody comes up to me and says, that's got to change. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? You know what I'm going to say? Don't do that to me, because my first response is going to be, but see, it doesn't make any difference. The ministry's already started. Because then I'm going to go back and I'm going to say, why do I want to pull that stripe out of that bill? Why can't I just accept this change? Maybe it's a word from God. And by the way, if it's not a word from God, maybe it's requiring a response from God. And not just... So ministry can come from all different directions, but all of it's going to require change. All of it's going to require change. One of the things that stuck out in my mind the most, I hate to say this, I can go back and get other stronger things, but the thing that sticks out in my dad's life the most was the last part of it, where he just refused any movement or change at all. None. You remember? It was like, and if there was any change, I'm mad about it. Okay? Why is it sticking in your mind, Stan? Because I don't want to go there. It's a ministry to me. It doesn't have to be a negative thing. It reminds me of that easy chair is not my friend. That video game is not my friend. Sleeping 8, 10, 12 hours a day is not my friend. My day off is not my friend. My day on is not my friend. I've only got one friend. I got one friend, one that's interested in me and me alone. And when I obey him, it's for me, no matter what I think. Now that's righteous. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. That's right. Y'all stand with me. Nothing pleases me more than to see people move towards righteousness. That's been from the day this church ever started. Before this church existed and we were still in the Bible study. The Bible study was all about change. You remember that?
Yeah.
You people that were there?
Yeah.
To understand and learn the Scripture and see what God was really trying to say. Why did we need? So we can be theologians. So we can out-argue anybody in the world. No, none of that. How it's going to bring us from glory to glory. Our righteousness to righteousness. That's what I want to see. That's what I am seeing, and I praise God for it. All hearts clear?
Yeah.
We will be gone next Sunday. We will be in Kentucky for our business. And hopefully that means that we'll be back now for a while. We're getting to the point where motels are beginning to look the same. You know what I mean? Not particularly interested in looking forward to go checking into a hotel. The house felt pretty good yesterday. All hearts clear? All right. Father, we love you. I thank you for your word being revealed, being raised up and magnified in our lives. I thank you that you're life giver to those that seek life. I pray for those that are interested in their own lives, Lord, that they're trying to use your name to propagate their will. One of our songs said this morning, we're anxious to see you rise up, to see justice come from a righteous God. We always say that until it hits us. What we want, Lord, is in us and in others a righteous, justice God being manifested for the kingdom of God. That means if I need to be persuaded, then so be it unto me according to your will. And with the same love and the same care, if it needs to be done in others, then so be it according to your will. We say that with no vindictiveness, but with love for the kingdom of the living God. We want the unrighteousness struck down and righteousness revealed. Once again now, as a group, we lift up those families that are separated, both sides of the fence, Lord. The children that are involved, we ask, this is where we ask for grace and mercy, especially for the kiddos. But more than that, we ask for righteousness in the parents. Righteousness. Righteous acts of praising God and trusting God and being faithful to each other and faithful to God. Not letting the enemy come in, deceive, or tempt. But through their righteous lifestyle and careful servitude to you, Lord, that their marriage grows stronger, their children grow upright, and your kingdom goes forth. We love you, Lord. We ask you to be with our soldiers, all soldiers now, because they're doing a righteous work. I ask you, Lord, to let those people that are going to bomb, let those bombs blow up and eliminate them for forever. But let it blow up in their houses, in their cars, away from our troops. Let it blow up in their temples, their places of storage. Let it hurt them and their families more than anybody else. Lord, not because we want to see them suffer, but because we want to see righteousness revealed. Lord, for those that have the ability to be changed, let our troops minister and let it touch them as a word from the Lord, from the true God. Once again, we pray for those people that were hit by an unrighteous God. Their God did not protect them. Let that be revealed so they'll look to another source. And let the next tsunami that comes in be a tsunami of the Holy Spirit to change salvation, righteousness, and holiness. Lord, we thank you that your work you've done against the media and against Hollywood. We ask that be continued, Lord, that righteousness destroy the unrighteous. We've seen them already, their values, their value to the world be destroyed. They've become basically nothing. Let that draw to you, Lord. But continue the work where their theatrical, non-real lifestyle be destroyed and be brought into reality to the only one true God, the only true Ten Commandments, the only true Word, and the only true Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We don't pray this so that they'll be like us. We pray this so they'll be like you. We praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you that this word changes life and will not be forgotten, but it will move and motivate, strain and refrain, that it will cause others to be drawn into this kingdom that you so value. For these things, because they are done and finished by this prayer and agreement, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. We give you praise. And it is finished. And everybody that agrees says, amen.